Would open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We want to remember Brother Eric Floyd, who's preaching at Todd's Road Grace Church this evening. He preached there Sunday and tonight. And Lord willing, this coming Sunday, he'll be preaching in San Diego. I told him he's going to need a vacation when he gets home. He said, I'll try to take a nap on a plane. So let's remember him as he travels and preaches. Hebrews 17 will begin, or 7, we'll begin reading in verse 17. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath. By him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We'll end our reading there. All right, Sean.
Okay, if you would, turn to song number 168. Even me.
Lord, I hear of showers of blessing, Lord, scattering full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing, let some drops now fall on me, even me, even me. Let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O tender Savior, let me love and cling to thee. I am longing for thy favor whilst thou'rt calling, O call me. Even me, even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, O mighty Spirit, thou canst make the blind to see. Witnesser of Jesus' merit, speak the word of power to me. Even me, even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Love of God so pure and changeless, blood of Christ so rich and free. Grace of God so strong and boundless, magnify them all in me. Even me, even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Pass me not, thy lost one bringing, bind my heart, O Lord, to thee. While the streams of life are springing, blessing others, O bless me. Even me, even me, let thy blessing fall on me.
Would now turn to song 340. Nearer, still nearer.
still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Nearer, still nearer, nothing I bring, not as an offering to Jesus my King. Only my sinful, now contrite heart, grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be thine. Sin with its follies I gladly resign. All of its pleasures, pomp and its pride, give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Nearer, still nearer, while life shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to be, nearer, my Savior, still nearer to thee. Nearer, my Savior, still nearer to thee.
Let's open our Bibles now to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis, the first chapter. We'll begin our reading in verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Let's bow before our Lord in prayer. Our Father, we bow before you this evening, a thankful people. How thankful we are that sinful men and women such as us can come before the presence of God Almighty and call you our Father. We know it's only because of your eternal, electing, adopting grace. We know it's only because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We only dare come before you in him, pleading his obedience, pleading his blood. Father, how thankful we are for your mercy, your grace, and your wisdom that would provide a Savior, that would save your people to the uttermost, completely and fully, all because of the doing and dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, how we thank you for your life-giving power, that you continue to bless your word, to call out your people, to give them faith and life. How we thank you that you continue to bless your word and feeding and instructing your people. And Father, I pray that this evening that you would enable us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Don't let us just go through the motions of religion, but Father, give us a word from thee and enable us to hear it and to believe it. Well, we pray for ourselves, we pray for your people who are gathering all around the world tonight to worship. Father, bless your word. We pray a special blessing on our brother Eric, that you bless him in preaching, that you give him traveling mercies back home. Father, we dare not forget to pray for those who are in deep waters and in difficult times. We pray that you'd heal, that you'd comfort. We pray for Aaron and Barb and Ron. We continue to pray for Lynn, that you'd heal and strengthen her. Father, those who are brokenhearted and those who suffer silently, you know. And we pray you'd comfort their hearts with your presence. All these things we ask in that name which is above every name, the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Well, I've titled the lesson or the message tonight, Blessed in Christ. Blessed in Christ. Now, on the third day, let's review just briefly. We saw a picture of Christ's resurrection. Remember when the land appeared from underneath the waters? It was like Christ appeared again as he came back up out of the earth, out of the tomb, and he arose from the dead. On the fourth day, we saw a picture of Christ, our high priest, mediator, who's ascended into heaven. And now on the fifth day, we're going to see a picture of God's people being blessed in Christ, our risen, exalted Savior. Since Christ is ascended on high, as our high priest, mediator, his people will be blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And we get the clue of this in verse 22, says, and God blessed them. Now this is the first time the word blessed is used in Scripture. And the picture that I want us to see tonight is that every spiritual blessing is found in Christ. God blessed them. God blesses his people in Christ. It's always in Christ. Now God's blessings are more than can be numbered, so we can't look at them all tonight, but I want to give you 10. I promise you I'll be brief. 10 blessings that are found in Christ. I believe they'll be a comfort to your soul. These are blessings every believer has from God, and they're all found in Christ. Now, if you think of other blessings that I don't list tonight, you can be sure of this. If it's a blessing of God, you find it in Christ. It's all in him. And that ought to tell us something. That if you want any blessing from God, if you need any blessing from God, tell you what you ought to do. You ought to go to Christ, because they're in him. They're in him. Remember when the famine came in Egypt, Joseph told Pharaoh, famine's coming. And Pharaoh said, what will we do? Joseph said, I'll tell you what we do. And he saved up those corn in the 7 years of plenty. And when the famine came and people needed corn, they came to Pharaoh. And what did Pharaoh tell him? Go to Joseph. He's got it all. And that's what the scripture tells us. If you need any blessing from God, you go to Christ, because it's all in him. And the first thing we see is this. God blesses his people with life in Christ. Verse 20. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Now on the fifth day, God created fish and birds and creeping things. That moving creatures mean creeping things. Now you think on this day, God created so many different forms of animal life. He created plankton and whales. He created minnows and sharks. He created sparrows and eagles. He created ravens and doves. Every form of fish and bird life that there is. So many different forms of life. So many different shapes that they all have. They all have the life and the form that God gave them. It all came from God. And I can show you a picture of Christ in that. In the world, there are many different kinds of people. They're different races, different sizes, different shapes, but they all get their life from God. God gives them and sustains their physical, natural life. They get it from God. In him, we live and move and have our being. And God the Holy Spirit moves in the world. He comes through the world. You don't know where he's come from, where he's going, but he moves in the world. It's like the wind blows through the world. He moves. And he creates spiritual life in some of those people. Some of those people have physical life, but the Spirit moves and gives them, they have physical life, and the Spirit moves and gives them spiritual life. Now, I've showed you this before in this study on creation, that the waters represent all people. Remember the Lord's parable when he's talking to his disciples about fishing, and he talked about casting a net into the sea, and you pull in fishes, some good fish, some bad fish. Well, the seas, the waters in that parable represent all the world, all people in the world. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Some of those people only have physical life. That's because that's what God gave them. Some of those people have physical life and spiritual life because that's what God gave them. They have it because God gave it to them. God, the Holy Spirit, moved in power and he gave them life. He gave them spiritual life by the preaching of the seed of the Word of God. And Holy Spirit caused it to take root in their heart. He prepared their heart. He made their heart good ground. He caused that seed to be planted and to grow, to take root and give them life. God did that. He gave them life by the preaching of his word. In verse 22, God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth." God blesses his people and causes them to be fruitful. He causes them to multiply through the preaching of the word. It is such a blessing that we have here to have the word of God. And not just have it in your lap like you do now, that's a great blessing. Everybody doesn't have that. In the history of the world, many people never owned a Bible, never had one. We do. We also have a place to hear it preached. God's given us a place where his word is expounded and preached. That's how God blesses his people, causes them to be fruitful and multiply. And since Christ our Savior is ascended on high, he's seated in glory at the Father's right hand, God's elect are guaranteed the life that Christ purchased for his people by his death as their substitute. You see, the one who died to purchase that life, he also rose again, ascended on high where he reigns to ensure his people have everything that he purchased for them. And they can never lose that life because their Savior rules as their king to ensure it. He gives them life. The second, God blessed his people by delivering them from the grave. Those two points kind of go together. If God gave you life, he's delivered you from the grave. But there's a picture here of being delivered from the grave. Verse 21. I never did see this before until I was studying for this message. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, have you ever wondered why it is that the Holy Spirit only moved Moses to mention God creating whales? There are millions of species. I guess there's millions. There's more than I could number of species of fish and of whales. How many species? Just so many. And the only one Moses specifically mentions here is whales. You ever wonder why that is? Well, I can tell you this. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. There's a purpose behind it. Whales in Scripture are given to us as pictures of the grave. Remember Jonah? God told him to go down there to Nineveh and preach. And Jonah ended up being swallowed by a whale, didn't he? And while Jonah was in that belly, the belly of that whale, you know what he called it? The belly of the grave. He called it the grave. Now, why was Jonah in that grave? Well, it's because Jonah rebelled against God. And he did not go to Nineveh. Like, he tried to run from God, and he ended up down there in the belly of that grave because of his sin and his rebellion. And it's sin that causes all flesh to go to die and to go to the grave. Then another example, when the religious people of his day, they came to the Lord and said, "We want a sign from you. We want a sign that you're a Messiah. If you can show us a sign, we'll believe you." After all the many, many miracles that he performed, they said, "We want another sign." And our Lord told them, "You'll receive no sign except that of the prophet Jonah." As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That whale is given to us as a picture of the grave. Now, before God ever created man, God gave us a picture of the grave. God knew that Adam would sin. When he created, he knew that Adam would sin. God knew in his creation there's going to be sin and death and the grave. And God also gave us a picture before he ever created man that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to conquer the grave. That their life is going to come out of this grave. Life is going to come. His people are going to be delivered from the grave because Christ is going to conquer the grave. He's going to conquer death for them. The Lord Jesus Christ died bearing the sin of his people. And just like our Lord said, after 3 days, he rose from the dead. He rolled that stone away and walked out of that tomb. And when he did, death and the grave were conquered. They were defeated. So God's people who die, they're not defeated. Those who die in the faith, they do not perish. Their bodies lay in the grave, but they do not perish because God's elect have eternal life. Eternal life. And eternal life, by definition, can never perish, can it? It's eternal. It can never be lost. So when the bodies of God's people die, yes, we lay their body in the grave. But they, their soul, goes to be with the Lord. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. They leave this body, this decaying, dead, dying body of flesh behind, and they go be with the Lord. But you know, that's not the end of the story. Now, that's not the end of the story. Someday, when our Lord returns, their soul is going to be joined again to that body. The difference is now that body is going to be raised a perfect, sinless body. A body just like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. That body has been raised from the grave. We lay that body in the grave. But don't you think that means the grave has the victory? No, it doesn't. The Lord's going to bring them out of the grave. The grave cannot hold the body of God's people. It's impossible for the grave to hold that body forever because the Savior already conquered the grave for us when he walked out of it. And since he walked out of it, you will too. You will too. See, the resurrection of God's elect in a perfect body, that's guaranteed. Our Savior is ascended. He's seated at the Father's right hand. And you know what he's doing right now? Sitting there, ruling and reigning, making intercession for his people, waiting that moment he comes back to gather to himself all of his people. It's guaranteed because he's the reigning Savior. All right, now third. I looked up this word blessing, and just like I said, I chose 10 of these words. This is the third one. Look at Genesis chapter 22. This is a very important thing when we talk about God's blessings to his people. All of God's blessings for his people, all of them, are found in Christ. This is after Abraham took his son Isaac and was ready to slay him as a sacrifice to God, just like God told him to do. And God stopped him, and Abraham turned and saw that ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And he offered that ram up in the stead of his son Isaac. And Scripture tells us on this day, Abraham rejoiced. Now, it's not just that he rejoiced that Isaac was spared, because he already believed he was coming down that mountain with Isaac. He rejoiced because Abraham saw the picture of Christ in this. He saw this is how God's going to save his people, the death of a substitute. Now, look at verse 17. This is God speaking to Abraham. He says that in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And the Apostle Paul told us in Galatians 3:16 that this seed that God promised Abraham here, it's not Isaac, it's not Jacob, it's Christ. And to thy seed, which is Christ. God prophesied to Abraham that every spiritual blessing for his people all over the world, Jew and Gentile alike, is all going to be found in Christ. Look over to Ephesians chapter 1. Here's the fulfillment of of that promise made to Abraham spelled out for us. All of God's blessings, every blessing he has for his people is found in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? It's in Christ. The Father has blessed his people by giving them every spiritual blessing. Every one of them. He's held nothing back. And it's all in Christ. He made it easy to find. It's all in one person. It's in Christ. We're elected. That's a blessing to be chosen of God, isn't it? In Christ. Look at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And God predestinated a people. He predestinated a people to be made just like Christ. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And God has accepted his people in Christ. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in Christ. We have the redemption of our souls. We have the forgiveness of our sin. Where? You guessed it. It's in Christ. Verse 7. In whom? In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see that? Every spiritual blessing. It's all in Christ. It says Christ the Savior is ascended. He's seated in glory at the Father's right hand. This is what we know. All those spiritual blessings are safe because they're in Christ. God didn't give them to us and expect us to keep them because we'd lose them, wouldn't we? He kept them all in Christ. See, we know, believers know this, we have an inheritance. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Because all those blessings, all that inheritance, it's all safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you would have them, go to him. All right, now turn back to Genesis chapter 33. This is a blessing. When God blesses his people, he blesses them with everything. Everything. He holds nothing back. Now here in Genesis 33, this is the time when Jacob, remember he ran away from home, he stole Esau's birthright, he ran away from home because Esau was going to kill him. Now he's coming back. And Jacob is afraid Esau's going to kill him now. Esau just waited all this time, and now Esau's going to kill him. He's going to kill his whole family. So Jacob, in what I cannot explain, sent his wives. Remember, he had these wives, all these children. He sent them all ahead of him. Instead of being the leader and him going first, he sent all these wives and all these children and all these servants all ahead of him. And he gave them all loads and loads and loads of gifts for Esau. So that when they saw Esau, they gave him these gifts. And Jacob thought, well, maybe he won't kill them because they're giving him this gift. And he hoped that in giving them all these gifts, by the time old Jacob got there, he thought maybe Esau would be worn down and softened and he won't kill me. Yeah, not the way it should have been done, but that's what happened. Now look at verse 8. After Esau has received all these gifts and finally Jacob, his brothers, got there. Genesis 33, verse 8. And he, Esau, said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast to thyself. And that word Esau uses there, enough, it means much. It means abundant. It means great. Esau had become a man of abundant wealth. He was a very, very wealthy man. But look at what Jacob says in verse 11. He says, take, I pray thee, my blessing, which is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. Now the word enough that Jacob uses there is an entirely different word. It means, I have all things. God's dealt graciously with me. God's blessed me and given me all things. And you know why Esau took the gifts that Jacob gave him? Oh, Esau had enough, didn't he? Yeah, he was wildly wealthy, but he could have more. He could have more. You know why Jacob could give all those gifts and not hurt him a bit? He had everything. Even after he gave Esau all that, he still had everything. He couldn't have more. And that's what a believer has in Christ. We have all things. All things. Every spiritual blessing. When God blesses his people, he blesses them with everything he requires. Everything he requires of us, he blesses us with and gives us freely. Everything God requires for salvation, he gives his people. Everything he requires for eternal life, holiness, righteousness, peace with God, he gives it all. He gives it all to them. And since Christ has ascended, all this is because of what Christ bought for us and earned for us. He's seated at the Father's right hand. The Father's already accepted our Savior. He's already accepted our substitute. He's already blessed his Son. His people are going to have full possession of everything too. Christ, the risen Savior, lives to ensure it. All right, now look at Genesis chapter 39. When God blesses his people, it's always for Christ's sake. Now we need to remember this now. When God blesses his people, it's always for Christ's sake. Genesis 39, verse 1. It's after Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, and it was for Joseph's sake. Now Potiphar was a heathen man. He was an Egyptian. He was a heathen just like every other Egyptian. Didn't know God, didn't love God, didn't trust God, didn't want to know anything about God. But Potiphar ran into this boy, Joseph. He bought him. He bought him to be a servant in his house. And Potiphar was blessed for Joseph's sake. Potiphar wasn't blessed because of Potiphar's good management of all his possessions. Potiphar was blessed for Joseph's sake. And every believer is born into this world a Potiphar, an unbeliever, a heathen rebel. Don't know God, don't love God, don't want to know anything about God. But God blesses that person. God has chosen them. He's chosen to save them. It's God's purpose to save them. He blesses that person. He protects them. He preserves them. And one day God crosses their path with the Lord Jesus Christ, with a man preaching Christ, and he gives them life and faith in Christ, and he blesses them with everything God has for a sinner. And it's for Christ's sake. It's for Christ's sake. Don't ever let us forget that. It's for Christ's sake. It's not because of who we are or what we've done. It's not because of all the good works that we've done. God blesses his people for Christ's sake. God doesn't bless us because of what we've done. God blesses his people because of what Christ has done for us. God blesses his people because of what Christ has done in us. It's all for Christ's sake. God's people are forgiven of their sin. Our sin, which is more than the hairs of our head, which is more than we can number, our sin debt, which is infinite, all that debt is forgiven. And it's for Christ's sake. Because Christ took that sin and he made it his own. He took it in his own body on the tree and gave himself a sacrifice to put that sin away. And the Father sees that sacrifice and says, it's enough. Your sin's forgiven for Christ's sake. Because Christ paid the debt for you. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. God accepts his people, sees them as righteous, as sinless. Because that's what they are. For Christ's sake. Because Christ was made a man and he earned that righteousness by his perfect obedience to the law for his people. It's for Christ's sake. So if I can tell you again, trust Christ. Just trust him. Believe him. Believe on him. Just quit your works that you think might make God happy with you and trust Christ to be everything you need. Quit trying to earn God's favor by your works and rest in Christ and ask God to bless you for Christ's sake. Not because of what you do. And since Christ has ascended, he's seated on his Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for his people. The Father's always going to bless his people. There's his darling Son, who fulfilled all of God's purpose in the covenant of grace, making intercession for his people. He loves his Son so much, he's always going to bless his people for Christ's sake, because of how much he loves his Son. All right, here's the sixth thing. Turn to Numbers chapter 23. God's blessings cannot be reversed. We can say we want to bless somebody, we want to give somebody something, but it can be lost. It can be reversed. We may change our mind, take it back. God's blessings cannot be reversed. Now, Numbers 23 is a story of Balak. Balak was the king of Moab, and he had paid Balaam, this false prophet in Israel. He paid him to curse Israel. Balaam was a prophet. He's a false prophet. He's a prophet in Israel. And Balak paid Balaam to curse Israel because Balak wanted to defeat them in battle. And Balaam, he kept trying. He kept trying to curse Israel. He said, well, let's go over here and see if I can curse him. Let's go over here and see if I can curse him. Let's do this and see if I can curse him. He kept trying to because he wanted the money. But this is what Balaam found out. He cannot curse the people that God has blessed. It's impossible. He kept trying to curse Israel, and what he ended up doing is blessing them. And Balak saw this. Look what he says in verse 11. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, you've blessed them altogether. He just couldn't help it. He tried to curse them, but he couldn't. He just kept blessing them. It was impossible for him to curse the people that God had blessed. And he finally figured that out. Verse 20. Behold, I have received commandment to bless. And he hath blessed. God's blessed these people. And I cannot reverse it. I like what Balaam says. He's a false prophet, but he knew something. God had given commandment. Commandment from the throne of glory. He'd given commandment to bless his people. Then they shall be blessed. They shall be. They're going to be blessed because Christ, our high priest mediator, has ascended to the throne of God in heaven. He's commanded that his people be blessed. And they shall be. They shall be. False prophet, an enemy, Satan himself cannot reverse it. God's given commandment to bless his people, and they shall be blessed. All right, now look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is something for us to get a hold of and try to remember. God's people are blessed in everything they do and everywhere they go. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. You just can't stop it. They're going to come on thee. They're going to overtake thee. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Well, that pretty much covers it, doesn't it? Everywhere we go, everything you put your hand to, God's going to bless his people. Everywhere they go, God's going to bless them. Everything God's people do is going to be blessed of God. When you go in, when you come out, when you lie down, and when you rise up, God's blessing you. When you plant in the spring, when you harvest in the fall, God's going to bless it. If you're in the city, or you're in the country. I got some friends say you can't be blessed in the city. This says you can. They say you got to live in the country. Anybody lives in the city is cursed. Now, God says if his people are in the city or if they're in the country, they're going to be blessed. Whether you're in a time of peace, prosperity, what we call peace and prosperity, or whether you're in a time of trial, God's people are blessed. And I said we need to remember this because there's going to be times that don't feel like it, will it? There's times it doesn't feel like it. But you are. If you belong to Christ, you're blessed. Whether you feel like it or not, he's keeping you. Yes, this is a trial and it's painful, but you know what? He's blessing you in it. He's using it to teach you more of himself. He's using that to teach you to trust him more. He's using that to bring you closer to himself. Everywhere you go, anything you do, and everywhere you go, God's people are blessed. And you know why that's true? Because God's everywhere. God's everywhere, blessing his people. He's got nothing left but blessing and love for his people. All right, now look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. God blesses his people by taking their sin away. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. I've told you this often, but I want you to want to remind you of it. This word impute is an accounting term. You know, God doesn't make his people righteous by imputing righteousness to them and calling them righteous, even though they're not righteous. Impute is an accounting term. Impute means you charge something to an account because it's actually there. That's what the word impute means. It's just like your bank book. You record a deposit in that bank book. Well, you impute that deposit to your checking account, to your bank account, because you already deposited the money in the bank. If you record a deposit and you didn't put the money in the bank, your books won't bounce, will they? Your books will be inaccurate. You'll start bouncing checks. God's books are always accurate. They're always in perfect balance. Almighty God will never bounce a check. He'll keep every promise that he made. Now here's the reason that God does not impute sin to his elect. Is because he took that sin away from them and he made it his son's at Calvary. He imputed sin to his son. You know why? Because he made him sin. That's why he imputed sin to his people, imputed sin to Christ. And when that sin was charged to Christ, the Father imputed that sin to him. He charged him with it because he made him guilty of it. The sacrifice of Christ covered that sin. It blotted it out and took away all that sin that was charged to him. And God forgives the sin of a sinful people and does not impute their sin to them because their sin was charged to the substitute. And his blood covered it, removed it. Now people, when they talk about God blessing them, almost always they talk about God blessing them with stuff. More money, better job, better house, better car. God blesses them with health and, you know, now, I'm for all those things. I mean, a whole lot I'd rather be healthy than sick. But when God talks about blessing, this is what he talks about. Your sin's forgiven. Your sin's forgiven. He's not going to impute your sin to you because he made his son sin for you. How blessed is a person? How blessed? I mean, can you imagine, can you quantify how blessed a person is that the Father took your sin and charged it to his beloved son? I mean, it's just more than human mind can comprehend. The sin of God's people will never be charged to them, ever, because Christ took it away a Calvary's tree. And the evidence of that sacrifice is always on full display to the Father. There sits his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A man is sitting beside the Father. And in his body, he bears the scars of a sacrifice. And the Father sees those scars, and he's always well pleased. He sees those scars, and he always forgives the sin of his people because he sees the evidence. The sacrifice of my Son put it away. How blessed can we be? God, forgive me for ever complaining. And even that sin was put away by the blood of his Son. Isn't that something? That's a blessing. All right, now look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. This is the ninth thing. God blesses his people to hear and to believe his word. Luke 11, verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. And he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now this congregation has been blessed. According to what the Savior said there, this congregation is blessed. We're blessed to be able to have a place where God's word is taught, where it's preached. Some of us our entire life long. Some of us. God's not blessed every town that way. He's not blessed every city that way. He's not blessed every county that way. But he's blessed this town that way. And what's more, not only is the word taught here, God has a people here that he's blessed to hear his word and to keep it. And keeping God's word simply means this. It doesn't mean you keep God's word in the sense that you obey all God's laws and all his ways. Keeping God's word just means this. You believe it. You believe it. You bow to and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the subject of the whole book. And we don't believe this word. We don't believe this gospel. We don't believe this Christ because we're any better or any smarter than the rest of the people on God's earth. We have faith in Christ. We believe this word. We love this word. This word is our bread, is our life. You know why? Because God's blessed us. He's blessed us with faith to see Christ in this word and believe it. He's not blessed it because we've had better preachers and better teachers than anybody else. He's blessed us for Christ's sake. He's given us faith to believe and a heart that loves and needs his word. And the credit for all that blessing goes to the Lord, doesn't it? Who so graciously and freely blessed us. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure would like to not take his blessing for granted, wouldn't you? I sure would. All right, now here's the last thing. Look at Revelation chapter 14. I wanted to close with this because this is something that we deal with often. The death of a loved one who we feel like we feel pretty confident that they knew and loved the Lord. God blesses his people to die in the faith. He blesses them. Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now the dead who die in the Lord are blessed. They're blessed. Don't be sorry for them. Don't be. Now weep for yourself. It's a loss to us. But don't be sorry for them. For them, it's all gain. All gain. They are so blessed. They have every blessing that God has promised them in their possession. In their possession. We hold those things by faith. They have them in their hand. We see Christ by faith. They see him face to face. They're blessed. Believers on earth enjoy these things, don't we? We enjoy the gospel. We enjoy the hearing of Christ. We enjoy it. But we have them in a body of flesh that makes it so I just can only take so much of it. You know, I got my little recorder here telling me, don't go much past 40 minutes. The spirit can only take as much as the hind end can take. That's just the way it is. Those who died in the faith, they have this in perfection. Perfection. We have it in promise. We have the earnest. We have the down payment. His spirit, don't we? They have it in fulfillment. Oh, that's blessed. That's blessed. And every single person who believes and trusts Christ like that is going to be blessed like that one day. Unless the Lord returns first and changes our vile bodies into a body like in His glorious body, every believer is going to be blessed to die in the faith, close their eyes in this life, and open them in glory, looking at the face of our Redeemer. And we'll say, oh, I'm blessed. And I'm here, blessed, for Christ's sake. All right, I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Let's bow together. Our Father, how we thank you for your blessing. How we thank you for your blessing to your people that are more than we can ever number, that are more valuable than we can ever estimate. Father, we thank you. And Father, I pray you'd bless your word to the hearts of your people to comfort us, to encourage us, to draw us closer to Christ our Savior. Father, let us leave here tonight rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, Sean.
Okay, if you would, turn to song number 118. And if you would, let's stand as we sing. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life,